You can't handle the truth.
That's right. Musk claims he's going to have a car that goes 0 to 60 in 1 second.
That's fast.
That should not be available for the public. That should be a $2 million car.
Probably will be.
That should be easy to carjack.
I'm
so when those kids can go 0 to 60.
Is it going to be electric, Joe?
Yeah.
Sorry for asking. Sorry. Why don't
Fred
you?
Fred Maloney's Hardware and Garden Stores. I was there yesterday to get some Dots pretzels.
Went to the hardware store for pretzels?
That's the only place I thought they had them.
Okay.
I was informed that they are available in the grocery
store. That's a far less irritating place to get them than a grocery store.
Much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And they're right at the checkout counter, too.
Yeah,
right there.
Actually, that's brilliant, Mr. Mayor.
And then they had pistachios on sale for $1.20, so I got some of those.
Oh, did you get yourself some fancy root beer?
No, I was looking for a squeegee. They didn't have one. But I got the Dots. What did I say?
Noted.
Did I bring up Fred Maloney's
Hardware? You did. You did.
It brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1,255. Feb 28. Normally, this would be the last day of Feb, but we get an extra day this year.
Not this year.
Not this year. Feb 28, 2024, 57 degrees on this day in 1932, and 26 below on this day in 1962.
Hail the flashlight, King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic. With Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
We still don't know if this will go down as the record-breaking year without a winter. We're currently averaging 30 degrees, but in contention is the winter of 1877-78 with a winter average of 28.9, the winter of 1930-31 with an average of 26.8, and the winter of 1881-82 with an average of 26. I think we have a good shot to break the record.
Think so?
I think this could be... It's something to say. You were alive when Minnesota, in the short time cosmically that it's been keeping records, we've been alive now for the warmest winter on record. We're going to have to get quite a cold spell to lose out to 1877-78, but we could. It's still early.
Because the earth is boiling. Is that what you're saying?
It's in
She's
terrible
heating
shape.
Up. Is there any ice left?
Oh, there's some ice around.
Okay, all right.
But this snow that they advertised so generously didn't really materialize in the Twin Cities.
No, it did not.
But I'm rooting for the record.
The record, Mayo.
And to get the record, we got to stay warm. And she's going to warm up again tomorrow.
I saw this morning, I believe it was the Cody Matz on the 9 said, we've had the highest number of 50-degree days in the winter season.
Have you heard about Sunday?
Yeah. 70.
Yeah. All kinds of tops.
I'm going to open up my garage door if it's a 70.
Me too. All kinds of tops will be down. Now, I want to live a different life. We've had this discussion before.
I think he was talking about convertibles, gentlemen.
All right. Because I was thinking I'd like to see some too.
Yes.
It's not currently the number one red story in the Star Tribune. For quite some time, though, this morning it was. And given all that's taking place, big shooting yesterday on Lindale and Elliott Avenue, one dead, one critical, one wounded, kind of a shootout, 1:30 in the afternoon. Guns flying, bullets flying.
They must have been on their lunch break, I bet.
A siesta shootout.
That's what it was. But number one on the Star Tribune website, and I find myself envying these people that were worried about it, is that Kennethy, a turkey known by several names, including Gregory Peck and Bachelor Turkey, was spotted in the Kenny neighborhood in Minneapolis, often spotted in the Kenny neighborhood in Minneapolis, which is, that's damn near Edina, isn't it?
It's bordered on the west by Logan Avenue, on the east by Lindale, on the south by the Crosstown, and on the north by 54th Street.
Sure. It's over there in South Minneapolis.
Yeah, the nice, fancy, I'm not going to say fancy, upper blue collar.
Well, this turkey has died, apparently after being struck by a vehicle.
Oh!
An evil gas-guzzling vehicle?
And the turkey was thought to have often directed traffic in the neighborhood. but he died Saturday by way of a vehicle. We have to get that in there again.
Mm-hmm.
The Kenny Neighborhood Association said they got together, they put on their uniforms,
they sent out flyers.
Had a meeting.
Is there a GoFundMe?
They confirmed the death of this turkey.
Yeah.
And here again, for the third time, we're going to get the word vehicle. He met his fate with a vehicle at the corner of 56th and James. No humans were harmed. R.I.P. Gregory, they wrote. So sometimes he's called Gregory Peck, sometimes he's called Kennethy. Sometimes he was called the Bachelor Turkey. Residents shared tributes.
What?
Remember that one time when he shit on the sidewalk? Remember that? That was so fun. Then a little old lady slipped in it, and down she went, broke a hip.
That was great. I have news for these people coming up in a moment. Residents shared tributes to the turkey in the form of tearful emojis.
What?
And a memorial video of Kennethy rustling through leaves and crossing the street to the tune of Sarah McLachlan's Angel.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
We loved him dearly, and he brought us so much joy. Rest in peace, my feathered friend, one person wrote, who said that to them the turkey was James. See, another name.
Another name.
Another resident noted that the turkey usually used crosswalks. Okay.
Did they pick up the flag, too, the paint, orange flag to walk through the crosswalk?
This was written by a reporter named Zoe Jackson.
Oh, she's the, she's come up before.
Is it a she?
I believe so.
A race and immigration reporter for the Star Tribune. She's a she. She previously covered St. Paul neighborhoods and young voters on the politics team. I did not know that. I did not know Zoe was with the St. Paul paper.
If Joe,
you never saw her in the office in the newsroom.
We don't have a building, Matt. That's right. We don't have a place.
That's right.
I didn't see anything about the fossil fuel vehicle then backing up and running it over again just to make sure
right.
That it was finally.
Joe,
yes.
The online portion of this story,
yes,
has comments.
I'm sure it does. But they did not allow comments on the shooting yesterday on Franklin and Elliott.
Well, people aren't concerned with that. Yeah. We're concerned about the turkey. Jay McLean 5439 says, my daughter and I called the turkey Kennethy because we weren't sure if it was a Kennedy or a Kenneth.
All right,
that's the easiest thing in the world to identify. Male and female turkeys are really easy to identify.
And we never saw it with other turkeys. We wondered if it left
female
its flock.
Female turkeys have a purse.
Huh. Oh, sure. Easy to identify.
Let me not dwell on the turkey except to say, I'm very serious when I say, I envy the people whose minds are so empty that they took the time to comment about the turkey. I'm serious. I think that's. I wish I was there.
How far down on the list is that for you in your life?
But I hate to burst their bubble, but I wanna offer them some news.
Mm-hmm.
It could be breaking news. You people in the Kenny neighborhood, I don't know if you know this or not, but there are probably thousands of turkeys in the metro area. And there's a fighting chance that every time you saw a turkey, it was a different one.
Huh.
Every time you saw a turkey in your neighborhood, it quite likely was a different turkey. So that to think you've pinned a name on this, and it was the same turkey every time, five will get you 10, that 2 days previously, that turkey was in the Mac Groveland neighborhood of St. Paul.
Right.
And then it was up in Champlin, and then a new turkey moved in. These are different turkeys, people. That's right.
Yeah,
these turkeys are all over the place. You're tempted to think there's only 10, because when you see them, there's usually 10.
Well, they look alike.
And they seem to hang out together. But I have learned through observation that there are many groups of turkeys. I don't know what a number of turkeys is called, a gaggle.
You consider yourself a turkey expert.
I'm quite familiar with them.
I'm learning things from you. Thank you.
Quite familiar with them. And I think the moral is don't bother to name them because you don't even know which one you're looking at. Mm-hmm. They're different. They tend to be different.
Well, wild turkeys are also known as run of turkeys.
A run, okay.
The wild males and females have a different group name. A group of male wild turkeys is called a posse, while a group of female wild turkeys is known as a poult, P-O-U-L-T.
I see.
Shouldn't it be the other way around?
Kelsey, I'm
also seeing rafter.
Thank you, Kenny.
Kelsey was.
I got it.
Kelsey walked through a park and he saw a neat sign. Since nobody reads 5,000-page bills anyway, let's slip in term limits. I like that. I think we should.
Cheese Lovers 36 says we loved this turkey so much and called him Torben. He made us laugh, and we looked forward to seeing him on our walks every day. Rest in peace to our feathered friend. The neighborhood will miss you.
I got news for you, you suckers. You were looking at a different turkey every time.
Well, as Rook pointed out, they look similar.
Yeah.
But when they got together at the memorial, why didn't they figure out, this one calls it Toby, this one calls it Jack, this one calls it Kenny? Why didn't they say, no, let's figure out a name?
Everybody in Gumption County goes to the mayor and the fireworks commissioner, Joe Souchere, for any kind of information whatsoever.
What do you got?
On all creatures, big and small, and walking and flying.
And I'm there, usually holding court.
And even if he's occupied, he will listen intently to your request.
I'm usually holding funny court Elmer, at the bar at the Knack Hardware and Lounge.
With that funny Elmer Fudd hat.
Yeah, I got my hat on.
Flaps down.
Yeah. If I buried Marion Ross prematurely, I apologize. We all thought that I said she died. We all thought we were off the air. Kent Schilling notes, fact-based, Marion Ross is still alive. She's 95 years old. She was born October 25, 1929 in Watertown, Minnesota. I don't know why I don't know when I might have incorrectly stated that she passed on. And I apologize if you were offended.
Okay, Mrs. C is still at it.
She's still with us.
We actually brought that up the other day because I think Chris was talking about Watertown.
Yeah, I mentioned that we were in Watertown for a basketball tournament over the weekend.
And I said, did you guys know Marion Ross is from Watertown? So maybe that was fresh in your head.
I thought we were talking about Fonzie helping Mrs. C unclog the pipes, so to speak.
Well, she moved around. Waconia, Wilmer, Albert Lee, McPhail Center for the Music, Southwest High School.
Joe, these kind of topics are the topics you need to grasp in order to free your mind of the heavy burden of what's going on in this country.
What did Mr. C do for a living?
Hardware.
Do you remember when he saw the stripper and what's his name?
He might be taking
Richie
it too far.
Richie was there too? No more. The stripper's name was Bubbles McCoy. I'll never forget it.
But no, he was in town.
I became a man that day.
So a turkey's dead, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Fargo in Dallas has a litmus test for me. Here's the litmus test to check to see if someone has Trump derangement syndrome.
Okay.
Ask yourself this question. Would any of the legal cases Trump is currently dealing with be brought against him if he were not running for president? If your answer to this question is yes, you have Trump derangement syndrome.
Seems to be a little bit stacked there, his test, doesn't
it? If your answer to this question is no, then you are a sane person who understands that the problem is not Trump and that the problem is the system. And yes, indeed, the reckoning is coming. Johnny Fargo, about 25 miles south of Dallas.
Hmm.
I got to think some of the cases. I think that the gal that sued him for rape, I don't think she would have sued him had he not been, had become so famous.
Okay.
But.
Because she can't even remember when that happened.
Right. Was that the porn star?
No, that's no, a different,
it's a different case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That one, you know, probably is true. Well, not probably. It pretty much has been proven true.
Yeah.
The porn star one.
But the case involving the inflated real estate market, you guys have got to admit that that is such a bogus. Everything about that
I've seen several breakdowns on both sides. So
right, but basically, the governor of New York just told all the people in real estate, don't worry, we're not going to hold you to that same standard. Well, you're just completely telling the American public.
Oh, really? He said, really?
Yes.
She, that's not the word she used, Chris. When you said it on the air the other day, I was going to correct you.
But John, I have talked to other people in the real estate business but all have said
Kathy
the same
Hochul
thing.
Said.
That all,
that's
that
not
all,
what Kathy Hochul
then
said.
Then what did she say, John?
I'll find the quote for you.
All right.
Documents taken
said,
from
if
the
you didn't
White House.
Do anything bad, you won't be prosecuted, basically.
Well, isn't that kind of what I just
isn't
said?
Isn't inflating real estate values, isn't that a part of the American
it's
way?
It's common practice.
That's what we all do, yeah. Especially when we list our house.
Well, great. I'm going to start backing up every crime we talk about then, if you guys don't mind.
As for the documents taken from the White House, they both have done that. I think the difference is that Biden probably didn't know that they were taken.
Well, I would like, the difference is Trump wouldn't give them back when they asked for them back.
I would also like to know what prior presidents did they take? Did this just become a Trump thing, or does Barack Obama, did Ronald Reagan, did George Bush?
I don't know. All I can tell you is that I would not take any for a very simple reason.
Storage.
I don't want any stuff.
Yeah, I don't. Take them.
You need more stuff in your garage?
Need any more stuff. I'm trying to get rid of stuff.
Right.
Would you like listeners to bring you stuff?
No.
Just drop it off.
What the hell did Inge send? There's a giant cardboard box.
There's two giant cardboard boxes.
Come on, Inge, knock it off. No one's even opened them yet.
Right. It was going right to the trash.
We probably should.
Don't put any money in them.
See what's in there.
Unless it's the pretzels.
Oh, yeah. I have an email today. I'm not going to get to it right now, but I'm just setting it up.
Oh, your little teaser.
He doesn't want to be mentioned. I don't know why, because it's a brilliant, brilliant piece. And I'm going to congratulate this fellow for getting an A+ in his studies at the University of Garage Logic. And I think it's going to turn a lot of what we talk about around. It clarifies a lot of what we talk about. And I think he makes a great deal of sense. And I want you to stay tuned for that.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
If he got an A+ in Garage Logic, are we grading on a curve?
I have no idea.
Meaning, are the four of us in trouble?
I never understood the whole curve thing, so I don't want to go into it.
Got it.
I don't understand it.
You want me to explain it to you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
last night, I always check every night to see if I left any lights on anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I go out to the garage. She had left the big garage door open.
Oh, you don't tell me. Seriously?
Yeah, and the heater was running, even though it was set at its maximum low.
And was there just steam rising from the...
And I thought, oh, my word. But luckily for me, the garage door worked. Had it not, I would have had to run to my contacts and called Precision Door.
Yeah.
And Precision Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin. They don't charge more for weekend visits, and presumably they wouldn't charge more for the call at 11 o'clock at night, huh?
Right.
They do everything. They do the rollers, the springs, the openers. They'll even help you select a new door and install the new door. They will do it expertly. And they usually have all the parts they need in the truck, so you don't have to sit there and twiddle your thumbs while they have to run back to the shop. They're trying to eliminate that aspect of the industry and carry everything with them because they want to get the job done on the first visit with you. It's a GL guy, but you get the whole family. It's a GL business, but the whole family is involved at precisiondoormn.com. That's precisiondoormn.com, or you can call them at 612-263-6985.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Imagine this. You run a business and you want your commercial space to look wonderful. And you've got carpet that people trample in and out all year. Well, then you might want to call Zero Res to get your commercial cleaning estimate. Yes, the pros at Zero Res can Zero Resify your business. And they're professionals just like you are. So I'll give you their phone number in a little bit. But if you're also residential, February is the month of love, and we're winding down. Right now, you got a couple days to get this special, the Rookie Love Your Rug special. Zero Res has over 17,000 Google reviews and a 4.9 rating. Let me get back to the special. You're going to get three rooms Zero Resified starting at just $119. They're going to throw in a free hallway. And this month, take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. They really, really want to help you commercial and you residential people have nice, fresh-smelling, clean carpet. So call today, 952-ZEROREZ. You can go online at the website, ZeroResMinnesota.com, and let them know that you want the Rookie Love Your Rug special. 952-ZEROREZ, spelled forward or backward. You spell it the same way, Zero Res.
Remember this name, Thomas Dunn.
Okay.
76 years old.
I still remember it.
Fought two tours in Vietnam as a Marine. Served in the Minnesota National Guard and the Wisconsin Army Reserves. He was born in Ireland. Lived in the south side of Chicago after having come to this country at the age of two.
Okay.
Delivered the Chicago Tribune as a paperboy.
Love that. Good start.
Lived in Minnesota for about 15 years with his wife, and he and his wife went for a walk in Harriet Island at the Harriet Island Regional Park on January 28th. We had a mild winter. He could have walked on January 28th. And three youths were near him as he and his wife were getting back into the car.
Okay.
And one of the youths... however many feet away or yards away, but took a leak outdoors into the pond. And this troubled him, apparently. So he got out, he took his phone and took a picture. Now, presumably, he was going to maybe send it to his city council representative or write a letter to the editor. But this put him off his feed to see such ungracious behavior. Same. And the kid taking a leak... and his two buddies walked over to him and punched him, and he just died. He died yesterday.
That's tragic.
They punched him in the eye.
Do we have the kids?
They were 17.
Oh, my God. Don't give me that minor bullshit either.
It was... one of them threw and landed a punch, knocking Dunn to the ground, according to a January 30 juvenile petition charge. It was a Rosemount teen charged with first-degree assault, causing great bodily harm. He got to the hospital, and they did emergency surgery for traumatic damage to his right eye. He had several fractures to both eyes and his nose. He did get to leave the hospital the next day. But then he had follow-up visits with an eye doctor at the VA in Minneapolis, his wife said. He came down with a high fever on Feb 4 and was taken by ambulance back to Regions where he was bouncing from progressing to ICU. He went unresponsive at one point and they had to intubate him. He died just after midnight last Friday. A spokesman for the Ramsey County Attorney's Office said any new evidence presented by police will be reviewed and considered for additional charges. But that's this fellow deserved a better death than that.
What time was this, roughly?
5 p.m. on January 28th on Harriet Island.
Okay, and a Rosemount teen.
Yeah. One of the three was a Rose. I guess the one who landed the punch was from Rosemount. I don't know why they were in Harriet.
Right, that seems odd. Okay.
Harriet Park. I just thought I'd mention that because...
Well, the one crisis we have in this country is behavior. That is the most pressing.
And the moral
crisis
here is, again, I don't know why he was taking a picture. It strikes me that he was a guy that would have expected some civic behavior of mm-hmm. people. And he wasn't seeing it, so he took a picture. I don't know what he intended to do with that. But you know what the moral of the story is now? Don't do that. Don't take a picture.
Well,
feral youth are not to be trusted.
This is why I said this the other day. We just, unfortunately, you just got to keep your mouth shut. You got to keep your head down.
You have to do the opposite of what we do at GL. You have to look the other way when crime is occurring. Mm-hmm. It's the same as watching when you mentioned you were in a drugstore or something.
Walgreens,
and you watch some crime happening, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to look the other way, which is just, to me, that's obscene.
Mm-hmm. Just a shame. The guy was an upstanding guy, and there he went. Now,
poor Brian,
I promised you this email. It's going to enlighten us all.
Okay, good.
I have wrestled with, and I wish I would have come up with this, because I think this fellow's on the right track. I have wrestled with this seeming obsession the country has with gender identity. I've wondered why this emphasis, particularly as it might pertain to children. You know, all Johnny wants to play with a purse, let's quick get him a sex change operation. That's insanity to me.
Yeah.
And then all the way up to adulthood, where the this precious, silly person in Virginia walks out of the legislature because Winsome Earl Sears said the word sir. Scott from Inter Grove reminded me that, look at her Marine record. She probably had the word sir beaten into her brain for however many years she was with the Marines, you know. And here's the email. Now, he doesn't want to be mentioned. I recognize the name from previous emails. You ready? This is pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I believe we're at a point in history where gender differences are now viewed as the last bastion of the patriarchal power differential. To obfuscate gender and blur the lines between men and women is seen as the way to neutralize this imbalance. In this line of thinking, it has become unpopular to recognize, let alone celebrate, the differences between the sexes. Saying only women get pregnant leads to control and subjugation, so including men in the mix evens the playing field. And allowing transgender athletes to play in a league where they can unfairly dominate is fine, as it suggests there is no gender distinction to begin with. Mm-hmm. The point seems to be to make our society asexual. Why? Because then there can no longer be patriarchy if there is no such thing as a patriarch.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah, that's...
That's it.
Yes.
That's what's happening. Now, in our own clumsy way, we stumble across it dozens of times a year. Emily Larson, the former mayor of Duluth, wishing to rid Duluth of the use of the word chief. Well, part of it had to do with she is the type that would have been predisposed to not honor authority because authority is patriarchal. We come across it all the time. The push for equity, if you stop to look at it, is a push against patriarchy. It's a push against merit. If there's no patriarchy, there can be no merit. This it is a fellow. I can identify him as a fellow. I think he's right on the money. It's been called different things in the last 10 years, you know, the feminization of men in America, and it's had other titles. But that's, I think, at the very, it's a really fundamental building block of the mystery, is that the elimination and the change in behavior of males goes a long way to the elimination of patriarchy. You have the Mysterians in this country who already have made it perfectly clear to us that they don't trust anything the Founding Fathers did. Mm-hmm. They think they founded a flawed country. They think the Constitution is flawed. Why? Because it was written only by white males. Right. Patriarchy. They want to undo it. They don't want it in this country. And that in the new country they intend to invent after they've wrecked this one would have no patriarchy. Mm. Yes, you and the
So other do you, how do you suppose they arrived at this conclusion? Do you think there was whoever's come up with this theory of what the emailer said? I mean, is this a collective group think thing?
I think
how did we get here? And
I think organically. I think given the constant degradation of the failed academy and political failures and what have you, I think we're seeing the collective realization that at the root of our problem, our being Mysterians, is that we're constantly up against the rules and laws that have been established in this country. We don't like them. Mary Moriarty, for example, would be a woman, I would think, seriously opposed to patriarchy. Because that's where laws stem from. And therefore, they believe the laws are merely an affectation. They merely believe the laws are something that have been invented out of whole cloth, which on their part completely dismisses any acknowledgement or recognition, for example, of the Ten Commandments, from which many laws spring.
Hmm.
So patriarchy would be the elimination, or at the very least, the complete equalization of men and women in all things. It wasn't enough to get equal pay. That's not enough. We have to have equal births, which is false. Men cannot give birth, but they say they can. And they'll find a male every once in a while who will volunteer to somehow get himself impregnated and have a baby.
Do you think this is a concerted effort to attack Christianity?
I definitely think that's part of it.
There is an attack right now going on Christianity with this Christian nationalism nonsense that the left is preaching constantly. That conservatives and Christian conservatives believe that the country is based on Christian values.
There's a great big difference between Christianity and Christian nationalism.
I agree.
A Christian, but I'm not a Christian nationalist.
And a lot of people are saying that's just a clever way of calling you a Nazi.
Christian nationalism is the belief that only Christians should rule.
Right, and that's what they say the United States and the Constitution, Bill of Rights, etc. is based on.
And that's wrong. That's not what the founders believed. So. The founders believed in God, and they believed your rights came from God. That, in other words, that man, no matter what your religion is, he is not the creator of your freedom. Your freedom is an inalienable right. And we're enshrining your inalienable rights in this document we're crafting in this impossibly unair-conditioned hotel room in Philadelphia.
Right.
We're sitting here and our wigs are leaking sweat. But it had nothing to do with Christian nationalism, nor should anyone embrace Christian nationalism. That's a bunch of that's Hitler.
Yeah.
That's what they're accusing Christians of. The left right now. I've been reading about it more and more in the last 2 weeks, you know, and it's Christians under attack and being called Christian nationalist.
Right, and which is why I've said part of my objection to Trump is that I don't trust him as far as I could throw him, and he would adopt Christian nationalism if he thought it could help him.
Mike Johnson, though, isn't helping this, the House Speaker, the fellow who says that's not what Jefferson meant.
Bull loney.
I know, I understand it, and I agree with you, but Mike Johnson has kind of pushed that narrative, which is why it's becoming such a big deal now.
Mike Johnson is an idiot.
Well, jeez. Okay, Joe, that was Joe, not me.
Look, the problems this country has on the left are as dramatic as this country has problems on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Vote early, vote
often. That's why I have nobody to vote for.
It's amendment number one in the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
That's what they fled. They left that behind to get on some leaky piece of crap boat.
Rat infested.
And hope they ended up over here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they left behind.
It's number one. Yep. It's number one.
Who was the who was the rookie on the boat that just kept going, are we there yet?
Hey, I mean, how long have we got? What's for lunch?
They had to have a rookie on the boat.
Hey, right. Cookie, what's for lunch today? More fish?
Anybody see land yet? No?
The other part that Trump would embrace in a heartbeat is if he thought he could get any money out of it. You know, because the people who fled England, they were sick of tithing.
Are you suggesting the Church of Trump?
The Church of Trump, and you have to...
think of the sneakers we could sell.
You have to tithe. You have to tithe. It's not enough to pay taxes. You have to tithe to Trump.
Is he going to turn Mar-a-Lago into a religious retreat?
You know what? He'll probably start wearing vestments.
Yes, vestments.
I love this. I'm going to repeat it from this emailer. Hi, Joe. I believe we're at a point in history where gender differences, because we all have. We've all wondered, we've all wondered? What's going on?
What's going on? What the hell's going
what's going on
here?
On?
Where's that turkey?
I believe we're at a point in history where gender differences are now viewed as the last bastion of the patriarchal power differential. Let's stop right there. It very well could be the last bastion because so many other aspects of patriarchal power have been knocked off the pedestal, including following the law. Including following the law.
I don't know how that can be.
To obfuscate gender and blur the lines between men and women is seen as the way to neutralize the imbalance. In this line of thinking, it has become unpopular to recognize, let alone celebrate, the differences between the sexes. Saying only women get pregnant leads to control and subjugation. So including men in the mix evens the playing field. And allowing transgender athletes to play in a league where they can unfairly dominate is fine. As it suggests, there is no gender distinction to begin with. Let me stop again. What the failed academy has signed on for is exactly that. They are willing to suggest there is no gender distinction. The high school basketball coach yesterday in Vermont, who had his team disqualified from all postseason tournaments because he forfeited a game in which a transgender played for the other team. The authorities... The people in charge are basically telling him there is no gender distinction.
Wow! Finally, does the emperor have no clothes? Is this what it is?
Finally, he concludes, the point seems to be making our society asexual. Why? Because then there can no longer be a patriarchy if there is no such thing as a patriarch. That's... Thank you, sir. You know who you are. I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right.
You're welcome, Reeves. Reeves,
I said you're welcome.
If you wrote this, I would be so happy.
No, you'd be dismissive if it came from one of us.
If it came to you, I would be so happy. I wouldn't know what to do.
Hey, you're right, Chris. There's been times where we've said something and he completely poo-poos it.
But then an emailer will send it in. And
he's like, oh, my God, this guy's brilliant.
I'm showing his name. Have any of you ever come up with this?
Hell no.
Thank you, Matt.
Pensive.
Matt, you're being honest.
Way too pensive.
It's not pensive.
It's thoughtful.
That's the wrong word.
It's, it's the thing.
You're putting it on. You got to put the water on the ink. Paper to pen.
That's right, man.
Why do they think that everybody has to care? That's my question. And an emailer posed it to me about 6 months ago. I don't care what they do. Just stop making me part of the movement. I don't care what you do. Stop forcing yourself on me. Yep. I don't force my nonsense. Alone. I'm not forcing vintage sleds on y'all. Well, why are you, leave me alone.
We said that yesterday concerning Danica Rome, the trans Virginia legislator. You're a state legislator. Could there be any more example of that you are a functioning part of functioning society? What the hell do you want? Shut the hell up and act like an adult.
Right. Yeah.
And if Winsome Earl Sale, whatever the hell her name is, offended you, not only is that too bleeping bad, but take care of it on the moment and say, Lieutenant Governor, would you please refer to me as she, because that's what I am. And then Winsome would have to say, yeah, okay, she. But get it over with. You're here. You're among us, and you're acting. You have jobs. Quit. You're not special. But this is the movement. The movement is we will carry on and act like this until we win.
Your little bubble is not the concern of the rest of us.
Unfortunately, it's getting to be a bigger and bigger bubble as the mystery continues to make inroads in many aspects of life. Why don't we take a small time out, huh?
Boy, after all of that uplifting news, I need to cool down with some ice cold water.
Hey.
Courtesy of my friends at Hofferman Water and Connecticut. If you're in the market, then get on that schedule right now for that free water analysis today. Have them come out and test the water and see what you might be in the market for. 612-895-2440. You can also visit their website, which is HoffermanWater.com. They offer sales, service, and rental options, by the way, for Connecticut water treatment systems, including water softeners, iron rust, and odor filtration systems, and, of course, drinking water systems. I've had two systems installed in my home. It's made an amazing difference in the quality of my water, and it can do so many things that other water softeners just simply cannot do. So check them out online today or just give them a call. 612-895-2440 and have them come out. I've been a proud customer of Connecticut and Hofferman for years, and I know that you will be as well. Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Please do me a favor and mention you heard about it on the Garage Logic podcast.
As an example, the least diverse city council in America is the St. Paul City Council. All women of approximately the same age, same ideology.
That's not how it's being sold.
No males whatsoever. It's the least diverse city council.
Wait a second.
It is, even though it's advertised as the most diverse. There's nothing diverse about it. And they're pleased because they represent anti-patriarchy.
Mm.
There you have it.
Woo!
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
Council members, we have the ultimate practical joke to play on your significant other, your buddy, your brother, your friend, whatever. Go to the store, the music store, buy a cheap harmonica, and then get some zip ties and zip tie that harmonica on the undercarriage of the person's vehicle.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
You got to make sure the mouthpiece part is facing forward and you get up to speed and that thing starts singing and it will drive them crazy.
You should have done this to Joe.
I know. I sent it to him. I was so excited that I sent it to Such right away, and then I'm going, oh, damn it, I should have sent it to Paul.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
Truth, justice, and the Soucheray.
So Charlie sent an email inspired by me talking about Seafoam Trans tune. He sent this today. Charlie writes, on cold snaps, really cold snaps, my snowplow would freeze up. I'd change the fluid yearly as directed, but it never failed on sub-zero nights. It would just stop working. 4 years ago, I came across a suggestion on a forum to add Seafoam Trans tune to the reservoir to free up the system. And guess what? It worked. Now I'm proactive and give the system a healthy gulp at the yearly fluid change, and it's never froze up again. One of the great Seafoam products on the shelf that never runs out in my shop. And Charlie made me realize I need to try Seafoam Trans tune in my plow truck, because my issue with the tranny is that the tranny temp really jumps up when I'm plowing. And I mean way up, so much that it's hotter than the engine temp, and that's not good. So if we ever get any plowable snow, I'll dump some in, I'll find out and get back to you. TransTune, it is a miracle drug for our rides. We can use it in our vehicles. It'll help the transmission shifting as it should. It's a miracle in many ways, as witnessed by Charlie's email. The TransTune, just like the Deep Creep, the Top Engine Cleaner, all of it available for purchase almost everywhere. Our own local company with a global reach and a true miracle in a world of bad gas, Seafoam.
Here's Mr. John Height.
Thank you, Joe. This update brought to you by North American Banking Company. Thousands of people from across the state today honoring the first three responders killed in Burnsville earlier this month. Police officers Paul Elmstrand and Matthew Ruge, as well as firefighter paramedic Adam Finseth, remembered during a public memorial service at Grace Church in Eden Prairie. Elmstrand, Ruge, and Finseth were fatally shot responding to a report of a sexual assault on the morning of Sunday, February 18th. The suspect later found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Preps for the 11 a.m. service began early this morning as thousands of firefighters, paramedics, and law enforcement were expected for the service, with vehicles lined up outside the church. The church filled up quickly. There was overflow at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Burnsville, where they live-streamed the service. That church about 20 minutes away from Grace Church.
The procession will be starting later. The service is still going on right now. Mm-hmm. But when it starts, it'll originate there in Eden Prairie, go eastbound Pioneer Trail all the way over to 169, then south 69 to eastbound Highway 13, and then Highway 13 into Burnsville to the other side of 35W, and then south down to, I believe, County 42. It's going to be quite the long procession, and they're already lining up at intersections. Spectators, sorry.
And keeping the two deceased coppers in mind and the deceased firefighter paramedic, what is defund the police movements, and what is the opposition to police, and what is opposition to prosecution the closer you get to the country's tallest buildings, if not a rejection of patriarchy?
Yeah. I just tweeted out a pretty moving pic of the motorcade going by St. Thomas Academy with the cadets out there in the cold with their full
uniform.
What are
they doing way over there?
Is one of them a graduate?
I don't
know. On the way over this morning?
This morning, yeah.
Yeah, because there were also long lines of law enforcement coming from all over the state. And we're talking more. Departments would send many, many officers. Yeah. So it's going to be a long.
Whoever's off that day is probably going.
Yeah, it's going to be a long procession.
They did say they expected thousands.
And you got to hope that, you know, I really hope that people like Mary would take it to heart when she sees the turnout for the procession today.
I'm believing she doesn't have a heart.
But that's a really good point. Look at what you're told on the news, how everybody wants to defund the police, and look at three fallen souls here are being celebrated statewide, if not region-wide.
I want her to see the turnout of the public.
That's real.
Yeah, the public.
And, and boy, did that chaplain, John Morris, yesterday, a great line. We didn't give it enough attention. He had a great line in his remarks about Ryan Londegren. Has it come to the point where these guys are in trouble having turned in their best days?
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, your best day would be to take out a bad guy if that's what it came to, and you're now in trouble.
Oof. You want to hear a quote from the service?
Sure.
I don't know if I can get through this. The truest heroes don't choose to die. They choose to live a life where facing death is a possibility, driven by the love that compels them to protect others.
It's a nice line.
Jeez.
Who gave that? The people?
Somebody at the memorial.
Celebrant, maybe?
Wow.
Yeah. A man is dead, three other people injured after a shooting in South Minneapolis Tuesday afternoon. Police say that shooting happened between an alley and a sidewalk near the intersection of the 800 block of East Franklin Avenue and Chicago Avenue just before 1:30 in the afternoon. Investigators think there were multiple shooters involved, but they did not clarify exactly how many. Arriving officers found three victims, one of whom was a 34-year-old man with a gunshot wound who was pronounced dead at the scene. Another victim, a 37-year-old man, was suffering from an apparent life-threatening gunshot wound. First responders took life-saving measures, and the man was reportedly stabilized after being taken to the hospital. And a 37-year-old woman suffered a non-life-threatening gunshot wound taken to the hospital. While officers were on the scene, they learned a 31-year-old man reportedly self-transported to the hospital, also with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. Police Chief Brian O'Hara spoke to reporters at the scene, noted there are recurrent crimes at the intersection. It's been historically driven by narcotic sales.
Yeah.
During the news conference, Chief O'Hara also referenced another shooting in August in the same area at the same location that left five teenagers and three adults injured. Some concert news. Bob Dylan will be making an appearance close to the Twin Cities this summer. He hasn't played in the Twin Cities in over 5 years. He'll be on the Outlaw Music Festival stop that's been announced for Somerset, Wisconsin in September. Festival headliners for 2024 are Willie Nelson and Family and Dylan. Other acts vary.
Freudian slip there.
What do you say? Other hacks.
I said. Other acts vary by date. In the Somerset concert, not only will there be Dylan and Willie Nelson, there'll also be John Mellencamp and the band Southern Avenue. Tickets for the September 6th show go on sale March 1st. The pre-sale code is available for people who sign up with their email on the festival website. This whole festival debuted back in 2016, and Nelson has helped develop into a touring franchise. Some of the artists who have been part of the tour over the past few years include Chris Stapleton, Neil Young, Luke Combs, Van Morrison, Los Lobos, ZZ Top, Bonnie Raitt, Sheryl Crow, and Minnesota bluegrass band Trampled by Turtles.
Willie is now 90.
Yeah.
He's 90. Now, a serious question. Is he sitting when he's playing now, I wonder?
Yes, usually. I've seen some video from the last few years where he sits and for most of the show, because he does a round table, a guitar pole, it's called, basically, where people just trade songs back and forth. All so. Right.
Is it always on your mind?
Okay. The State Fair has announced another act. I got her. Thanks. For this year's Grandstand Entertainment lineup, the fair announced the Happy Together Tour is back again. I think that's about 5 years in a row.
The always available Happy Together Tour.
It sells well, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does really well, yeah. The Turtles, Jane the Americans, The Association, The Vogues, The Cowsills, and Badfinger will be part of this year's.
Whoever's left, huh?
Yeah, they just put them all into one
26.
Group.
Tickets for the show go on sale at 10 in the morning, March 1st. Last year, the Happy Together Tour performed featuring many of the same groups at the fair. The performance is the fourth Grandstand show to be announced so far. Late last month, fair officials announced comedian Nate Bargatze will perform August 24th, rock band Motley Crue August 29th, and Kids Bop Live announced for the final Grandstand show of this year's fair, which runs from August 22nd through September 2nd.
Cowsills had one great song. Something about In the Park.
The Rain, The Park, and Other Things.
I love that song for some reason.
I love
okay.
The
now, who was the gal? Who was the actress that was, weren't they a TV show?
Joan Collins.
They were not a TV show, but the Partridge Family was based
on the Cowsills.
An actual family. Susan was the girl you're thinking of. They actually went on to do some alternative rock in the 90s and 2000. That was pretty good. One of them we lost at Katrina. They found his body after the fact.
I didn't know we'd get Cowsill information from John, but we did.
Wasn't Ruben their manager in real life?
No, he was not, Rook.
Okay.
But the Partridge Family television show that was based on the band The Cowsills.
Loosely, very loosely, but yes, very, very loosely. Why don't we take a break and then we'll come back and talk about the Turtles. Let's hear to see what Rook
I like Turtles.
From like Turtles it. To Minnesota Masonic. I'll tell you about Minnesota Masonic Charities online at MinnesotaMasonicCharities.org. And I'll do exactly what I've asked you to do this month. Go to their website, click on scholarships, which I'm doing right now, and it comes up, Minnesota Masonic Charities Scholarships. The deadline is February 29th, so you better hustle your bustle to get that. And if you have questions, you can click on the question, talk to Beth icon right there, and Beth can help you answer any other questions you have. There's student scholarships, community scholarships, matching grants. You can learn more about how they've divvied up over $13 million in scholarships to date. That's Minnesota Masonic. The 2024 Selfless Scholar Award winner. Learn about that. Apply immediately. Time is really running thin. MNMasonicCharities.org. It's a great week, and they're going to pick some great winners. Sound like President Trump. It's tremendous.
A lot of people like Masonic. Like
money. That's cash. MinnesotaMasonicCharities.org.
Latte Schmate. Here's Joe Soucheray.
We mentioned this at the beginning of the newscast, and it's worth repeating our support and thanks to all of you people that have contributed to the Frontline Foundation on the Garage Logic homepage. We can't thank you enough. And we're going to keep this up for another day or two, but the Frontline Foundation began as an attempt to help and support our fallen heroes, including law enforcement officers, firefighters, EMS, and the Minnesota National Guard. They provide support to those who died while in the line of duty by giving benefit payments to dependents of fallen first responders. In addition to providing endowment and support for the families of fallen heroes, the Frontline Foundation will underwrite scholarships and training registration costs for frontline personnel, as well as support preparedness training for safety officers in hospitals, schools, and places of worship. So, again, thank you to all of you GLers that have already contributed. We really appreciate that. But you can do so, again, at GarageLogic.com.
Well, John, I've been paying rapt attention to John's news, but I've also been making a list of examples of anti-patriarchal behavior. Hesitancy to prosecute. Defund the police, the no bail movement, arresting troopers for doing their job, calling riots peaceful protests so long as the rioters were against law enforcement. All of this, the disregard of the word chief, all of this in contrast to the thousands of people today who think none of those things and are standing outside to honor these fallen law enforcement officers. So there's a real good microscopic look at why there's going to be a reckoning.
Hell, you could name everything that happened during the Minneapolis riots, the burning of the third precinct, the failure of the governor to call out the National Guard, and on and on and on, the burning of Lake Street.
Reckoning coming. I wish you'd hurry up.
In national and international headlines, as expected, Joe Biden and Donald Trump winning their respective primaries in Michigan yesterday. There were some issues popping up for both, though. A vigorous uncommitted campaign organized by activists disillusioned with Biden's handling of the war in Gaza made some headway. It had already far surpassed the 10,000 vote margin by which Trump won Michigan in 2016, a goal that had been set by organizers of the protest effort, Biden ending up with 81% of the Democratic vote. On the Republican side, Donald Trump's challenger, Nikki Haley, performed well in areas with college towns like Ann Arbor, home to the University of Michigan, and suburbs around Detroit and Grand Rapids. Trump ending up with 68% of the Republican vote, Haley ending up with 27% of the Republican vote.
The undecided portion, you said in basically that's the pro-Palestine group?
Yeah, they decided to vote uncommitted.
So we got the old, hey, let's vote for Hamas.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a national movement now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This morning, Mitch McConnell announcing, he, by the way, is the longest-serving Senate leader in history, maintained his power in the face of dramatic convulsions in the Republican Party for almost two decades. He says he'll step down from that position in November, which is kind of an interesting timing, don't you think, since the election's in November? Do you think maybe he's thinking, eh, we're going to lose the Senate anyway. I'm just leaving. McConnell turned 82 last week, was set to announce his decision in the wake, in the well of the Senate, a place where he looked in awe from the backbenches in 1985. His decision punctuates a powerful ideological transition underway in his party from Ronald Reagan's brand of traditional conservatism and strong international alliances to the often fiery isolationist populism of former President Trump. McConnell said he will serve out his Senate term, so he'll still be there a couple of years. His term ends in January of 2027, but he will not lead the Republicans in the Senate. Aides said McConnell's announcement about the leadership post was unrelated to his health. The Kentucky senator had a concussion from a fall last year, and of course we all know about the two rather public episodes where he briefly froze up while he was speaking.
Somebody hit the pause button.
I need to see a picture of him as a young man.
I just saw a video of him.
Did he have a chin?
From, was it 1987, basically talking about election integrity.
His chin's disappeared.
Yeah. Did he have a soul?
I'd like to know if when he was 25, 30 years old, did he have a complete face?
See if I can find a photo for you.
So, guys, I have the memorial service on right now, and they're walking the colors out the door, the United States flag leading, the old traditional Minnesota state flag in second place in front of the fire department and police department flags.
Wonderful. Let me add to my list of anti-patriarchy, the American flag. The hysterians will tell you it's triggering.
Yeah, and the removing of certain statues, too. That list is going to get very long, Joe.
I know. I'm going to keep adding to it.
Here he is. This must be his high school picture, maybe.
High school picture?
It must be in his yearbook.
Is it black and white?
Yeah, yeah. There's a complete square face there with a chin.
Yeah.
He's got a chin.
Yeah.
All right, good. A fast-moving wildfire burning through the Texas panhandle grew into the second-largest blaze in that state's history this morning, forcing evacuations and triggering power outages as firefighters struggled to contain the flames. The blaze was a part of a cluster of fires that burned out of control, threatened rural towns in Texas, where local officials spent the night shutting down roads and urging residents to leave their houses. Largest of the fires, which grew to about 800 square miles, jumped into parts of neighboring Oklahoma, remained completely uncontained as dawn broke, according to the Texas A&M Forest Service. Authorities have not said what ignited the fires, but strong winds, dry grass, and the warm temps in that area have fed the blazes. Near Borger, Texas, a community of about 13,000 people, emergency officials at one point late yesterday answered questions from panicked residents during a Facebook live stream and told them to get ready to leave their houses if they had not already left. Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition leader who died in prison earlier this month, will be buried in Moscow on Friday, his allies said. That might get a little weird, obviously. The funeral will take place a day after President Vladimir Putin gives his annual address to Russia's Federal Assembly. Even amid an unprecedented Kremlin crackdown on dissent, the scale of the turnout is likely to be an indicator of the strength of opposition to Putin's rule just weeks before the March 17th election that will hand him another 6 years of power. Hundreds of people have been arrested after laying flowers in Navalny's memory in Moscow and other cities since he died February 16th.
I'm going to trust that this is airworthy. This is from Paul Bloom. This is audio from Burnsville Police Sergeant Adam. Is it Medlicott, I believe is how you pronounce his last name?
Yes. Yep. Okay.
I think Paul would have made an excellent sergeant. I'll miss our midnight talks, Paul. I remember the very first call I went on with Matthew Ruge. I was training a new officer, and Matt had just completed field training himself. We were dispatched to a young lady who was to start an addiction treatment program that day. A van was outside of her house to bring her to the facility, but she had sat down inside a closet and was refusing to leave. I watched Matt and the new officer that I was training work through this call for a while. And it was a disaster. They didn't know what to say or how to say it. And I remember Matt looking back at me. I remember Matt looking back at me with a face that said, I don't know what else to do. That's when I had to step in, and I took over all the talking. A little while later, I had talked this young lady out of the house and into the van for treatment. After the call, Matt walked up to me and said, thanks, Adam. Man, I really effed that one up. He used the real word, though. Like any other cop, I said back to him, yeah, you really did. But I also told him that he was young, and he was new to the profession. I'd been doing this for over a decade. You'll learn, you'll grow, you'll get a lot better. I was standing next to him on his last call, but now it was Matt that was doing all the talking. And now it was me that was looking to him for the answer. I believed in him as a crisis negotiator. And everyone here should know, he was doing an amazing job of it. You can't reason with evil. You didn't F this one up, Matt.
That's pretty good. Maybe that's something Mary Moriarty could do for her next career. Maybe she could go into a home and do some crisis negotiation.
Yeah, I wanted to play it solely for the you can't reason with evil.
No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly. And Officer Medlicott is the other officer who was shot that recovered from his wounds, the fellow we just heard from. So, according to a new poll, I don't know that we should like this one, from the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, a First Amendment organization, almost a third of all Americans, including similar numbers of Republicans and Democrats, say the First Amendment goes too far in the rights it guarantees.
These are the people who are mourning a turkey.
More than half agreed that their local community should not allow a public speech that espouses a belief they find offensive.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
The survey also asked respondents to read a dozen controversial statements and pick the ones they found the most offensive. The most disliked beliefs were that all whites are racist oppressors, followed by statements like America got what it deserved on 9/11 and January 6th was a peaceful protest. The survey then asked respondents whether they'd agree with allowing this opinion to be expressed in different circumstances. Half the respondents said definitely or probably it should not be permitted during a public speech expressing an opinion. 69% said a local college should definitely or probably not allow a professor who holds that opinion to teach there. Over a quarter of respondents said that someone who previously said their offensive opinion should be fired from their job. The results indicate that though the average American is concerned about protecting free speech rights, apparently a significant portion of the population seems poised to welcome increasing censorship.
Well, like most polls, it's worth the paper it's printed on.
Yeah.
Macy's on Tuesday said it plans to close about 150 underperforming stores over the next 3 years. The struggling retailer's latest effort to energize its business as it seeks to fend off a proposed takeover by activist investors. The department store chain said it plans to focus on expanding its luxury brands, Bloomingdale's and Blue Mercury. Macy's will shutter 50 stores over the next year. Overall, the restructuring plan will leave Macy's with 350 outlets. In an email to Money Watch at CBS, Macy's said it's not disclosing the locations until it decides which ones altogether will be closed.
Do we have a Macy's in the Twin Cities?
In the Mall of America.
In the Mall of America. America.
Yeah.
But is that it?
It doesn't even compare to what it used to be. It's not an elegant event to go there.
Do a lot of shopping there, Matthew?
Been there quite often.
I spent some time in the female shoe department. I won't tell you why.
Yeah, that sounds a little weird.
Just checking out the latest styles.
Oh, I see.
And looking for bunions. Gross.
Oh, jeez. Bad year continuing for Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. Her 18-year-old son arrested on Tuesday afternoon is facing 22 charges, including several felony charges relating to a string of crimes in her Colorado district. The Rifle Police Department said in a Facebook post the 18-year-old Boebert was arrested after a recent string of vehicle trespass and property thefts in that district. The arrest adds another layer of turmoil to Boebert's campaign. She's not doing well polling-wise since she switched districts. She shifted her campaign to Colorado's 4th district, but is polling 4th in Republican primaries in that region. She mentioned her family troubles and children's future in a Facebook video announcing the decision, calling it a fresh start, allowing a pretty difficult for me and my family. difficult year to continue.
John, you had the Texas fires in your news.
I did, yes.
Doesn't the Texas panhandle butt up against the Oklahoma panhandle?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Texas panhandle runs north-south, and the Oklahoma panhandle runs from east to west. They butt up against each other.
True.
Correct. Yeah.
And is the Oklahoma panhandle also on fire?
Well, that was part of my story, actually.
Okay, thank you.
The largest of the fires.
They're making a patriarch list.
But he is paying very close attention to the newscast.
I believe, is the word he used. Wasn't it, Chris? Wrapped attention. The largest of the fires, which grew to about 800 square miles, jumped into parts of neighboring Oklahoma and remained completely uncontained as dawn broke today, according to the Texas A&M Forest Service.
In your map, rookie.
Yep.
When you think of the state of Oklahoma in relation to Minnesota, where do you have it?
South.
Not right, but where do you have it? Directly under Minnesota?
Well, Louisiana's directly under Minnesota, a little bit to the left, if I'm facing the map.
This way, yeah.
The left, if he's facing the map.
Yeah.
How about using a compass designation?
I can't. I've never been able to use the compass. Is that the thing with the pencil?
Oklahoma
is south and west, right?
Is a state west of Minnesota.
Yes.
I didn't think it was that far over.
But if you drive directly south on 35 to go to Dallas, you drive right through Oklahoma.
Yeah, but 35 has been, whether you know it or not, it's been kind of swinging down and around and trending west.
Correct.
Yeah.
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 What about the Florida panhandle?
Right now.
That's a big panhandle.
You've stayed.
I have been there, yes.
Yeah, you're right. You go south.
But then it's completely west.
To the left.
I had it closer to Arkansas.
Now, in your mental map,
I won't cheat.
Okay. Where is Peru in relation to Minnesota?
That's a tough one.
Can you hold, please? You go South America, you go this way. That's going to be four states over. That's going to be almost to the coast.
Peru is about under Buffalo, New York.
Did I go the wrong way?
Wow.
I went the wrong way.
That'd be to the right.
What brought all this on?
Right. I don't know.
I like these. These are fun games. Can we do Best Super Bowl commercials?
Yeah, he's in map mode.
I like the maps.
Do you like maps?
I use the Google for the maps.
You know what I was doing during all that? I was looking up panhandle because I wasn't really sure what panhandle meant.
Well, it looks like a panhandle.
a narrow strip of territory projecting from the main Oklahoma panhandle
really looks like a panhandle. I think the Texas panhandle doesn't look that much like a panhandle.
Do you remember the time when...
Okay, noted.
Do you remember the time? It might have been a Gretzky story.
I don't want to hear you.
No, it might have been a Gretzky story, and they talked about their swimming pool or the lake in Toronto. And I laughed because it would be, so cold. And then you asked me, do you know how far south
Toronto is? South of the Twin Cities.
I know.
Yeah.
You kind of mocked me for that.
Right.
I thought everything was just ice up there.
Right. Johnny, thank you.
Is it really? Wow. I didn't know.
Okay.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're going down this road.
Play the game.
Oh, here we go.
Name the two most northern cities to host a World Series.
Oh, probably Minnesota.
Cities, sir. Cities.
Minneapolis.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say Toronto. Did Seattle ever host a World Series?
No.
Minnesota and Boston?
No. Nope.
Wait, host a World Series?
Are you
going to
say Toronto?
Nope.
Host a World Series?
Yep. Northernmost cities. Well, one's Minneapolis.
Yep, it sure is.
Well, Toronto was in it in 90.
Well, they're not north of Minneapolis.
Oh.
I
Bloomington. Detroit?
Bloomington.
Are we Bloomington. On the
oh,
air?
Trick question.
You weenie.
Very important.
Yeah, I got to get back to the.
I'm going
to
go read Joe's last column to see how many big words he used.
Yep, same.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
Believe that word.
Hey, get this.
Go.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection say agents at its Grand Forks and International Falls sectors stopped a smuggling attempt at the end of September in northern Minnesota.
Hmm.
The U.S. Customs and Border Protection told 5 Eyewitness News, that's right downstairs, yeah, 2 vehicles were used to illegally cross from Canada into the U.S. with additional people inside on September 25. They were said to have crossed near Roseau, Minnesota.
Okay.
Border Patrol agents tracked the vehicles to Grigla, Minnesota, at a gas station where they found 2 vehicles matching the description of the suspect vehicles. Customs Border Patrol said one of the 2 suspect vehicles left the gas station before the agents arrived. After questioning suspects from the remaining car, Border Patrol arrested 4 people. Where do you think they were from?
El Salvador.
China.
Canada.
Ireland.
What?
We don't want the Irish.
Oh,
I think Kelsey sent me a great clip from Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles,
which you
sure
can't play, but they're saying, we'll take the bleepers right, and the bleepers, but right, well, we're yeah not taking the yeah Irish.
No, we ain't taking
no
the Irish.
Irish. Efforts continued, and an additional 8 people, 1 more from Ireland, and 7 from Great Britain were arrested. Wait a minute now. Can't what? You just live in Ireland and fly to New York and be a tourist? I mean, what?
You got your passport and, yeah.
What's the deal here? Can't you that just come weird to the U.S.?
If you have your passport, maybe they don't look bad.
Well, in how other they words, would have gotten why to are you illegally entering the country as an Irishman?
I'm looking for asylum. And me Lucky Charms.
They had illegally entered the country. Agents seized 1 vehicle, and the migrants were taken to be processed at War Road. The community of Beltrami County was, that's coming up on this day in history. The Beltrami County Sheriff's Office also assisted in the investigation. It is currently unknown why the suspects were entering the country. I'm very confused. Anyone could help me, staff? Anyone?
Can anyone nothing help me? I got nothing. I don't
you
know.
You live in Dublin. You say, I'm going to go to Chicago for the week. Right. Can't you just do that?
Bing, bang, boom.
Maybe I'm wondering why did they let him get all the way down to Grigla?
I don't know.
That's way down there.
Well, why are you even hassling them? You know why? We don't want the Irish.
Nope.
We don't want them.
We'll take the so-and-sos and the so-and-sos, which you could never repeat in a movie today.
No, you could not.
And,
no.
But we don't want the Irish. Renewal by Anderson brings you only because. Renewal by Anderson, the best windows, patio doors, and what else do they got? They got everything. Entry doors, patio doors, windows. renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic. Only because they come to us.
Let's hear it.
All the way from their temporary headquarters in Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, from the Traveling Lymans. Oh, nuts. I thought I...
You lost it.
Thought I had it.
Shoot. Well, John, you'll have to look it up and help me.
Okay. Got her.
On this day,
February 28th,
in 1866, the just aforementioned Beltrami County was formed. Ah. Though settler colonists did not move into the area until 1880s. The county's
name honors Italian adventurer Giacomo
C. Beltrami, who explored Becker, Beltrami, Benton, Big Stone, Blue Earth, and Brown are your B counties. Giacomo had explored the region in 1823.
Mm.
And then I'm good to the end, John.
Okay.
On this day,
228,
in 1872, Minneapolis and St. Anthony were united into one city.
Mm.
And on this day,
February 28th,
in 1891, and I'm a bit puzzled by this, horse car service ended in St. Paul.
Not wanted.
Had the electric streetcars already been put in place by 1891, I guess, because you're getting rid of the horses.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do with all the horses then? It's not like you take them to the junkyard. Seriously, what, I've never heard a lot of horses. What would they do then?
I suppose they were given to farms or put okay. out to pasture and had a wonderful life. Matt, I don't know okay. what happened to the horses.
I thought you knew everything.
But you have Mysterians who would love to go back to the day of the horses.
I don't want to step in horse crap.
Which only would increase pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the horse poop you'd have to shovel up?
Yeah.
I would not want to do that.
Isn't that something?
It would add to it, you know, because of all the...
But you know what we could do? We could use it as fuel.
Horse poop?
Maybe. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Pete. P-E-A-T.
Pete who?
Pete. Pete. From those Irish we don't want. They brought Pete with them. We don't want the Irish.
Who the hell brought Pete?
Where is Pete? He's coming down from the border.
Took up, sounds, jumped up three times to get a
link. He stopped at Speedway.
Sounds to me like it's time to wrap it up, fellas.
Why don't you just leave then,
yeah.
Mr. No Fun?
Mr. Buzzkill?
Mr. Buzzkill. Jesus, we got the Irish coming across.
Let me tell you.
Where are you?
Father McMurphy.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Gio.
Didn't he jump out? Did he suffer? No, he jumped out three times to take a leak.
Was that the guy who drowned at the Guinness factory.
That's what it was.
And they sent John over to Mary's house.
Sure, let him know.
And he knocked on the door and said, Mary, I got the bad news. Oh, no, is it about me? Is it about me, John? Yes, he drowned today. Oh, Jesus, did he suffer? Well, he did get out three times to take a leak.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And his cousin, he was with his cousin.
He was trying to drink as much beer as possible.
He was with his cousin, Pat McCrotch.
Pat McCrotch?
I think Kenny was right. Hey, if you can't get enough of Garage Logic, you should join the thousands of GLers who have found us on YouTube. Just search for Garage Logic Podcast and subscribe for nearly daily content, including
the Irish coming across the border.
Behind the scenes, full segments, video shorts. That's Garage Logic Podcast on YouTube.
This podcast has been going on what seems like a fortnight. Cha.
Leave that word.
Yeah.